This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Check in with the Commanders. Dan Quinn and his crew are on the road in Miami. They'll be starting joint practices in about 20 minutes. We'll hear from the Commanders coach in about 10 minutes. At 10:45, I want to reboot Conspiracy Corner because we need to talk about the astronauts who are stuck. We haven't done this in a minute. And here's the thing. It's like nobody went harder on the Princess Kate situation among Richmond area sports talk radio shows than our show. But also every passing week, and I called this on the air, right? The odds were it was going to be a not funny outcome, right? Like, the princess goes missing for a week, like, oh, she got a bad haircut, like, the royal barber actually likes, you know, the other royals better, ha ha ha. But then week seven, it's like, ah, shoot, like, something bad happened here. We did the ha 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 with Boeing stranding the astronauts a long time ago. They're still there, and I feel like we don't talk about this enough as a society, that they're still up there. It's been 71 days.
Where's the line, Bob?
Their Boeing spaceship doesn't work. So they're just hanging out up there. And maybe Elon Musk is going to come save them. And maybe he's busy on Twitter liking and retweeting. It's a heck of a situation to be in as a society. So we need to dive into that. Mainly, though, main story of the day. We told you on Monday about the finish to the Cookout 400. That was the NASCAR race that happened here on Saturday or Sunday night. And what happened at the end of that race was only 16 drivers get to make the playoffs in NASCAR of the 42. And so you got to work hard. You got to, you know, pay your dues, or you can win a race. If you win a NASCAR race, you get to skip the line. You get to be in the playoffs. Austin Dillon, 30th place overall entering the race. No chance he's going to make the playoffs. But he finds himself inside of the win, just drives straight through a couple people, puts them in the wall, wins the race, he's in the playoffs. NASCAR, and I don't know how they get away with this, but they NASCAR, the competition guy, says after the race, like, oh, a lot of things happened tonight. We'll get back to you on Tuesday. And I'm not sure how that's legal, why, like, how they get away with that? Because it happened again, to refresh your memory, Sunday night. And he's like, whoa, I'm going to need a couple good sleeps and browse some Twitter. We'll see what happens. Then on Tuesday, they said, we'll get back to you Wednesday. Wednesday now being 3 days after it happened. My only thought is they were
hoping. Where's the line, Bob?
We don't know where the line is. My only thought being they thought it was going to blow over, or they were hoping it was going to blow over, and it didn't blow over, so they had to do something. So here's what they did. Austin Dillon is still the winner of the Cookout 400. That he gets to keep the trophy. He gets to keep the tray and the milkshake and the cookout sauce. That's his. They're not taking that away. But he does not get the benefits of winning. He doesn't get the points. He doesn't get to make the playoffs. He doesn't get to rise up in the standings. So he is your Cookout 400 winner, but he's not, because the point of winning was to make the playoffs, and now he doesn't get to make the playoffs. So in the line drawing world, there's a line. Where's the line?
Where's the line, Bob?
Where's the line, Bob? Nobody knows where the line is still. So the line is, you can wreck other people to get the win, and you can raise the trophy and have the confetti and take it all home with you, But then when you show up at the track the next week, everybody will act like you didn't win. And you open up the paper, look at the standings, not a winner. What do you do with that trophy? What do you do with the Cookout 400 trophy if you're Austin Dillon? It's hard to win. There's 42 cars. They're bumping, they're banging, they're rubbing, they're racing, they're doing all the things. But it's hard to win. He hadn't won in 2 years. He's got the trophy. Do you put it in your house? Or every time you look at that trophy, you're like, ah, yeah, that's the time I thought good things happened. And then 4 days later, they called and told me, no. What do you do? You're the winner. It's the Cookout 400. You could take that trophy to any cookout, get 50% off your meal, is my understanding. You just keep it in your car there, flash it every time you go through the drive-thru. They've got, Cookout's got the weird right side drive-thru. That throws me. Because every time I pull in, look, I'm just by myself. I'm just a fat kid getting a burger. I'm not like with four other people that were all like, let's go film a Taco Bell commercial at Cookout and like pretend like we're having the time of our lives. It's just me eating a burger. But that lane's always so much shorter. It's the reach. It seemed like a good idea, and then I can't reach my food. Are they mad? Do they not like that? We built this lane for people who have friends. You don't have friends, get in the other lane and wait. I don't know. I get in the friends lane, but I don't have friends. Are they mad at me? They're generally kind at Cookout. They're not surly. This isn't, you know, other places. But I always feel bad. I was like, I am a genius. I am going to cut the line. And then we get there and it's food time. I was like, oh, I did. No, I can't reach the food. Oh, but then I have a milkshake and life's good and life's okay. Life's not great for Austin Dillon. We'll dive into that later in the show. I want to play Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s thoughts on that. I think Denny Hamlin's thoughts remain the same on that, which is we're still searching for the line. And by waiting 4 days, NASCAR, to me, communicates, we kind of liked it. We kind of thought that was fun. That was the thing where they wrecked the cars and people are talking. Boomer Esiason's talking about NASCAR. It's not terrible. But then you got the drivers who are all like, this is terrible. We can't live like this. Somebody draw a line. And I was like, we want to draw a line, but, you know, people seem to enjoy the thing where he wrecked the other cars. And maybe 4 days, Sunday to Wednesday, finally let him know, we're splitting the baby. You can have the trophy. You can't have the playoff points. You're not in the playoffs. I still think he gets wrecked on Sunday. I think that's an easy one. He just bring the car that crumples straight up because that's what's going to happen on Sunday. We'll talk more NASCAR on this show. We'll talk Flying Squirrels. We'll give away Flying Squirrels tickets. Big stadium news coming out yesterday. So we want to get to that, of course. But we need to get to Miami on the other side of the break because the Washington Commanders are doing joint practices with the Miami Dolphins, and they are, as these things are, a very big deal. So we'll take you out there on the other side of this, off and running on a Thursday. You're listening to MP on the Mic. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
Where is the line?
This is MP on the Mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
I don't even know what to say to that. It's fantastic. We're back. 910 The Fan. 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Let's get down to Miami. Dan Quinn addressing reporters right now as the Commanders and Dolphins getting ready for some joint practices.
question, because in the preseason, you actually want to put people into the hardest looks and the hardest matchup. So there's times you'll want to do some things just to, you know, put some stress onto a call or to a person in a coverage or whatever that might look like. And so to see, you know, the different elements offensively, defensively on teams, I think it's a great test. And these are at practice, perfect times to do that. And play man-to-man coverage, play a zero blitz look, play things that maybe you wouldn't normally do, just to, you know, really emphasize the stress and the evaluation of that play or that player. So I am really in favor of these practices. I think they make a lot of sense, and having to do it one day, then the day off, and then the practice, it really times up well. You'll see some players get a lot of reps today, and then not many in the game, and then some very few today and get a lot in the game. And also, there's a good selling point for that, for the player that's going to get few today. Saturday's coming, and you get a chance not only to perform for our team, but potentially for 31 others to show what you can do. And so I think there's a lot of value in that.
Some changes to the quarterback's room.
Yes.
Can you walk us through those decisions and sort of an update on Sam Hartman?
Sure. So we'll start from the injury wise with Sam. So not able to play in this weekend's game. And so Marcus also had an injury of a groin. It's not long. I think if this was probably in the regular season, this would be a guy who would want to go through that. That's not the correct decision at this time for him. So with both quarterbacks who will be down for the game, we thought it best to add to that. And we're fortunate that Trace was available and flew in last night and physical this morning. So let's go. But he will build in some plays. So as we got, you know, to the game, there would be some ones that he'd feel comfortable with. So that's where we're at there.
So a little news from Dan Quinn this morning. We've also got Marcus Mariota now not playing. So the Commanders down to just one non-Jaden Daniels quarterback, bring in Trace McSorley, which they need, of course, to play a preseason game. You need quarterbacks to do that. So Trace McSorley will take the role of both Marcus Mariota and Sam Hartman on Saturday.
So if the package can be learned by Saturday in a very small amount, then we'd be willing to do that for sure.
Dan Cliff's been calling plays for a long time this week. How much autonomy are you giving him compared to you maybe giving some input on what you want out of this offense for you?
Well, we're almost done the install portion of that. And so we have two more, both sides of the ball when we get back to Ashburn. So next week, a little more. Then we'll have gone through, you know, kind of the entire install. And so then now that starts to tighten up. You know, okay, what's specific that we want to go and carry and use over and over. So he's done a good job of going all the way through, you know, the process. Like we said, we have still two more sessions to go where we're going to install some new things. Then after that, you don't want to install a lot of new things. It's about the execution of doing over and over again. But he and the staff have done a really good job, the run game, the passing game, the play pass. Obviously, seeing some of that at practice, there's some hard concepts to defend. But ultimately, it comes down to what the guys do best. And that's really, you know, from Zach to the runners to the quarterbacks, to the receivers. And that's really, to me, where the secret sauce is. You know, not just here's the playbook and you have to know it. It's sure. Finding the right plays. And also, there's some plays that are specific for just a player. You know, if it's a one that you need, you know, a tight end to, you know, split out and, you know, use the speed to go, then that's one that we can feature Zach. Does that make sense? Where it's different guys to use in different ways. So he has a very, very strong understanding of that.
Where are you at with the wide receiver two search?
I would say we are right in the middle of it. And so you'll see a lot of guys in today. You'll see two, three, four, five. There's a lot of guys that are really battling. I've been really impressed with Alameda, and I thought he's had a really strong camp. Looking forward to getting Luke some extra work into here, Jahan, Diami. So that's where we're at, and then the special teams is going to have a factor in that as well.
Do you expect Jahan to play a similar volume of snaps as he did last week?
Probably. Yep, I would say, I don't know if it'll be the exact same, but it'll be in the similar space, same high volumes on the other guys that I listed as well.
So that's not a great sign there. Dan Quinn talking at the joint practices with Miami. Jahan Dotson will continue to play as many snaps. He's praising Alamide Zaccheaus after praising De'Ami Brown earlier in the week. He is sending a message to Jahan Dotson here, that's for sure.
So not everybody plays the same spot, Nikki, but I do want to see with he and with all the other guys really finding some really competitive moments, you know, that plays after the catch, the blocks, you know, at the point of attack. Sometimes even in man-to-man during this phase of evaluation that he beat the person even though the ball didn't go to that spot. So I'm really trying to evaluate them with and without the ball.
Some of the vets that didn't go in New York, do you expect everybody to go Saturday night? Is this the real kind of dress rehearsal?
Can you, like Zach?
Wagner, Allen.
They'll get a lot in today, but it'll be limited for the same, you know, kind of the group that you saw, with the exception of Wiley is doing well, practicing today. He'll get some reps in, so that'll be a big piece. And Ertz won't play in the game, and he's not here at practice today.
It's Zach Ertz's wife is 9 months pregnant, so that's why he's not at practice. That's an excused absence.
Some of those bets possibly out in terms of the offense. Jaden, how does that affect how much you guys might show of him on Saturday?
Like with the addition of Andrew and.
With what you have on offense, how much are you going to, does that factor into what you can do with Jaden in terms of the amount of series?
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. No, I think you'll see more today, Ben. You know, like, and that's kind of by design to say, can we push more here and less Saturday? It's hard to, you can't go both, you know. So by having these, it's you don't get it, you know, where I can just go and go. So that's the advantage of, you have to really make a decision. And so knowing, you know, I also talked to Mike too, who's going to play for them in the game versus here. And so he'll play more here. And so that's important.
Here a little bit better than last week. How do you think that will allow Jaden to show more? What are you kind of specifically wanting to see from him this week?
What I like about the end of the practice is that's when we do a 2-minute. So all four offenses, so to speak, get one set. So their offense will get two, our offense will get two. That, to me, is a really good one. I love the red zone work, that we can get specific to do those. So I'd say those two spots, the red zone work and the 2-minute, you know, at the end of the game, Ben, those are ones that really, if you were to mark down a couple ones that you want to stand out, there's some. But all of it's good, and I really enjoy these practices because you get different looks, you know, nothing scripted in that way. So it's nice to see it.
We'll call it there. Dan Quinn speaking with reporters in Miami ahead of joint practices, acknowledging there are guys who will get a lot of reps today who won't on Saturday, as the coaches, of course, prioritize the joint practices. Also saying Jahan Dotson will still get a lot of snaps on Saturday. That is not going to cool down the Jahan Dotson dialogue. Let's have that dialogue. Let's do it on the other side of this break. It's 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, be on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We'll do the Flying Squirrels update, maybe give out some tickets before this segment's over. But we'll dive into what Dan Quinn said first, because we are moments away now from joint practices between the Commanders and the Dolphins down in Miami. It's not actually Miami. The city's called Miami Gardens. It's halfway between Miami and Fort Lauderdale. It's an incredibly depressing place, but they're there. They're doing practice. That's what matters. Some news and notes from Dan Quinn, and I think you start with the quarterback situation there. I don't think anybody knew. I hadn't seen it reported. They're down two quarterbacks. We knew Sam Hartman left the game with a shoulder injury, and he's not gonna play down in Miami. Marcus Mariota is also out with a groin injury this weekend. So if they had done nothing, the quarterback roster at these joint practices would have been Jaden Daniels, number one draft pick, guy you don't want to expose to injury, and Jeff Driskel. Just a guy, that's fine. Jeff Driskel can play as long as you need him to, but if anything happens to Jeff Driskel, now you're in a spot where Jaden Daniels actually has to come back into a preseason game in like the third quarter. Nobody wants that. So they worked the phones. Trace McSorley, who has played for Cliff Kingsbury before, so theoretically maybe knows the system a little bit, flew to Miami last night, got his jersey this morning, will be on the field with him today, and presumably will have a significant role in the preseason game. So if you're making your plans for Saturday night at about, 9:45 p.m., just know if those plans are to watch the second half of Commanders-Dolphins preseason, you might be watching a guy who literally got his jersey this morning being out there on the field. I don't think we're going to learn a lot. The other major takeaway, Jahan Dotson is... he was a first-round draft pick. I thought he had a really good rookie season. Was held back by injury, battled a hamstring injury. I liked him as a route runner. I liked what he brought to the table. I thought there was potential. Last year was not a good year, and we talk about this all the time. Nobody had a good year last year. Last year kind of stunk for a lot of people because it was a bad team. The towel got thrown in early, and I don't read into that, right? We talk about Emmanuel Forbes, Jahan Dotson, Benjamin St. Juice, Derek Forrest. Name your guy. I don't hold against them what happened last year. We'll turn the page. And I think this coaching staff feels likewise. What we know right now from what's been said publicly, what we know is this coaching staff, for whatever reason, thinks they need to light a fire under Jahan Dotson. They made him play almost the entire preseason game last week. And then he asked about the wide receivers. Dan Quinn, you heard it just now. Grab the Odyssey app. It's got the rewind button if you missed it. Dan Quinn says, "We love Olamide Zaccheaus. He's had a great camp." And doesn't mention Jahan Dotson. Asked specifically about Jahan Dotson. Then says, "Yeah, he's going to play just as many snaps this week." Which tells me whatever they're looking for, they haven't found yet. That's not great. Because Jaden Daniels is a rookie quarterback and needs all the weapons he can muster. Clearly, something's up there. Olamide Zaccheaus, UVA guy. I like him. Steady, veteran production. If he's your number two, something went terribly wrong along the way. And so those are things we'll keep an eye on. And then the other thing from Dan Quinn, you heard it multiple times, how much he values these joint practices, these environments, the unpredictability of not knowing what the other side will do. And I think there's a chance this is a long day for the defense because the Dolphins' offense is pretty dang good. They got some talent over there. I think it could be a long day for the defense. I'm not, same as last week, not reading too much into that. But as a result of that, taking a little bit of juice out of that preseason game Saturday night. Just not the same level of juice when you've got backups, Trace McSorley, all those things. We'll see what Jaden Daniels does. I'm sure he'll play a little bit. We'll keep you updated. They're out on the field in Miami. We'll obviously let you know what's going on there throughout the program. Take you up to AWOD Radio, noon to 3. Grant and Danny drive you home. Flying Squirrels Baseball returns tonight live from Harrisburg. Trey Wilson on the call, 6:35 first pitch. A bit of a weird one yesterday for the Richmond Flying Squirrels. I believe it is time for a Richmond Flying Squirrels update. Richmond PA, hey, hey, have Richmond PA, hey, hey,
have fun, go nuts, hey, hey.
Well, it's a sad sounder. They lost. They did lose 4-1, but it wasn't all bad because the starting pitching was phenomenal. And here's Dylan Cumming, who pitched 5 innings, struck out 11 batters.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, strike 3, high fastball at 92 miles an hour. Cumming sits down De La Rosa and works out of the jam. Leadoff triple for the Senators in the first. They cannot cash in. The pitch is taken for a called strike 3, a fastball at the top of the zone. And Cumming picks up another strikeout. That is his second today. Got the first eight strikes. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. How about a 10-pitch inning striking out the side for Dylan Cumming? He has struck out four straight batters, and he's through two scoreless this afternoon. Cumming fires and a curveball swung on a miss. Strike three. Three straight strikeouts now. 1-2 heading home. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. A fastball at 92. Gassed him up. Back-to-back strikeouts for Dylan Cumming. He's now got six today. Payoff pitch. Curveball. Swing and a miss. Strike three. 10 strikeouts for Dylan Cumming through the first four innings this afternoon. He strands a pair of base runners in the fourth. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. 11 punchouts today for Dylan Cumming. He adds to his career high.
Ounce recorded, 11 of them by strikeout for Dylan Cumming. First flying squirrel to strike out 11 since 2022. Got Enrico Palazzo behind the plate there, ringing them up, Naked Gun style. Strikeout. 11 of them for Dylan Cumming. It did not matter in the final tally here. 4-1 loss. The Squirrels did not have a base runner after the fourth inning, and I'm no baseball expert, but that seems like not a great way to baseball. Squirrels back tonight. Nick Morrell will toe the rubber for the Squirrels. Tyler Stewart for the Senators. First pitch, 6:30 p.m. in Harrisburg, PA. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away tickets to see the Flying Squirrels. This is Tuesday, September 3rd. It is a bobblehead night for the first 1,000 fans, so that's always exciting. Tuesday, September 3rd, Squirrels against the Akron Rubber Ducks. So we're a few weeks away, and that's about 3 weeks away. We got a four-pack of tickets. We're going to open up the phone lines right now. I'll give you the number. Call in and win. 833-804-0910. So give us a call, 833-804-0910. We'll hook you up with tickets to see the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Show rolls on. More joint practice information. We'll get back to this NASCAR situation. NASCAR took their time, so we should too. Back after this, you're listening to 910 at the Fan.
The Fan
105.1 FM. Live tomorrow from Leonard Truck Accessories grand opening in Chesterfield. 16,001 Route 1, South Chesterfield. It's the exit before 288 as you're going south on 95. I tell you all that. You don't have to love truck parts, but you can love truck parts. They have a lot of them. That's what they do. That's the store. You can also love big events. John Reed will be there from WRVA. I'll be there. And there's a free food truck from 11 to 1, which is coincidentally when we'll be out there broadcasting, talking about football. And they're giving away a golf cart. They're just giving it away. That's not a truck. I mean, obviously, if they were giving away a truck, we'd probably be screaming it a little louder. But a golf cart, that's still a good giveaway. Like, that's better than any store opening I've ever been to. Normally, it's like, you know, free fries for a year. This is a whole long golf cart. I'm not going to hijack this segment because we have too much to get to, but I have to tell the story about my grandpa, who, like me, is the cheapest man on earth. And my dad is too. We all wear it proudly. We're all here to save a buck in any way possible. McDonald's opened in his neighborhood, and the first 100 people or whatever got free McDonald's for a year. And he went through, got there early, all the things. Yeah, he's old. He gets there early. That's what he does. They gave him 52 coupons for a free value meal, any value meal. So every week he would go and get the biggest one on the menu, which was the double quarter pounder with cheese on the big fries. Way too much food for me, let alone him. He would eat half of the burger and half of the fries and freeze the other half, which I know because we were up there. He had a freezer full of bags of McDonald's French fries and offered me some McDonald's fries. That's not, if you're keeping score, that's not the best way to consume McDonald's French fries. They got a window of expiration that to me is measured in minutes, not days. But value, again, we're not eating them. That's genetic. I can't run away from that. That's the thing. It is time for the Conspiracy Corner, which is one of my favorite segments of this show. Let's do it.
What's going on here?
Conspiracy theories.
A lot of conspiracy theories out there.
I don't know.
You don't know who you're messing with.
So let's get to it.
This is day 72, if you're keeping score. The astronauts are still up there. I don't think this story gets enough attention. Now, I can fix that. You're listening, you're like, hey, there are worthy stories in the world that don't get airtime. What can I do about it? Well, I'll tell you what I can do about it. I can talk about it on my radio show, because I have one. The Boeing Starliner capsule Calypso had docked at the International Space Station in early June, bringing two astronauts up. A week later, it was supposed to bring those two astronauts back home. What happened in between was multiple thrusters failed during the docking process. And so now it is day 72. The astronauts are still in space. They were supposed to be up there for a week.
Yeah.
It was only supposed to be a 3-hour tour. They're up there for an entire week. And then it's day 72.
72.
What do you do? What do you do all day?
You play cards.
They
play a lot of go fish up there.
Probably float away, yeah. They say that the astronauts can hang up there for another month or two while they figure out what they're doing.
Well, then don't take your time. Don't
These
rush.
Are the same people who administer discipline in NASCAR. Whoa, that looked terrible. Come back Wednesday. We'll tell you what we think of it.
Where's the line, Bob?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows where the line is. They are looking closely at the thruster jets. They will make their decision on August 23rd about what they're going to do. I see Hazel looking at the calendar. It's not August 23rd.
No.
They're going to take a whole nother week. They can just chill for a whole nother week up there in space.
Wow.
The Boeing company. Boeing has told NASA it believes the Starliner is safe. NASA has said we're going to need to look into this some more.
I think that's a good call.
Look, it wouldn't be great if something happened. And for the Boeing company, they've said a lot of things recently, and a lot of things have happened. So I understand NASA's skepticism here. The problem is the backup plan is to ask Elon Musk if he'll go get them on his SpaceX airplane. This is where we are. We have two Americans in space. They've been there 2 months longer than they were supposed to be. Boeing says just get in the spaceship. It's fine. The thing will drive. It was just a fender bender. Get your butt home. NASA's like, maybe if we call Elon Musk, he'll come get them. Like he's running an Uber service in outer space. How did we get here?
Things are not looking good for us right now.
As a nation, as a space program.
Our options are Boeing and Elon Musk?
These are our options.
Oh, my God.
It's not great. Calypso, which that's Greek mythology right there,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I forget who Calypso is. Something about Odysseus, right? Didn't Calypso trap Odysseus? That's neither here nor there. But we've got a minute left in Conspiracy Corner, so we need to mention Ray Gunn.
Have to.
The Australian breakdancer. This is my rule is, the longer a story goes, the less funny it will end up being, right? Like with the Kate Middleton thing. Where's Kate Middleton? Ha ha, nobody's seen her. And then, you know, when you get to like week six, it's like, shoot, something happened to her.
Uh-huh.
She's got cancer. Oh, well, that's not funny. We can't work with that. That's sad. Ray Gunn, you hang in the spotlight too long.
Be careful.
She manipulated the Australian breakdancing committee trials to get to be the breakdancer ahead of other Australian breakdancers who wanted to represent the great nation of Australia at the Olympics. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you manipulate the breakdancing process. We got a lot going on here, though. This is going to be a story. The Olympics are the story that keep on giving. Jordan Chiles, still a story. Still under appeal in Swiss courts. She's got a gold medal. Don't give it back. This is an easy one.
Flava Flav made her a medal, too?
That's what I'm saying. She's good. Just don't travel to France. You'll be fine. Hour number two, Link Casadane joins us on the other side. We'll talk joint practices. We'll talk NASCAR. We'll talk everything else.
Thursday
this is 9 to the clock. Means we love to talk to our guy, Lane Casadante. He is a sports director at CBS 6. They've been doing a great job previewing all the high school football. We'll get to that. Want to talk to him, of course, about the NASCAR finish. He was out there at the track. And joint practices, now down to two quarterbacks that know what they're doing in Washington. But Lane, good morning. Let's start with this. Aaron Judge, 300 home runs. Congrats to your boy.
Fastest ever in fewer than 1,000 games, I think. There are two players in Yankee history that have three seasons with at least 40 home runs in their first 9 years in the majors. There's Aaron Judge and there's Lou Gehrig. That's the list. Anytime that you're on a list with it's just you and Lou Gehrig, that's pretty good company.
They walked Juan Soto to pitch to Aaron Judge, Lane. What, what were they doing?
Well, you have to remember that prior to that, Soto had homered four times and I think six at-bats. So he was clearly hot. And, I mean, to be honest, in the last three or four games, I think they had struck Judge out twice before that. So, you know, but again, yeah.
That's a decent lineup.
You don't walk somebody to get to Aaron Judge because that's what happens.
Decent lineup if you can walk somebody and Aaron Judge pops up at the plate next. Ton of fun watching that AL East race. O's and the Yanks are going to be fighting to the finish out there. Lane Casadane joins us on Thursday, CBS 6 sports director, the OG sports coverage in town, of course. You were at the track. Austin Dillon wrecks his way to victory. Everybody's mad. NASCAR takes their sweet time about it, lets him keep the trophy, still get to put it on the mantle place, but doesn't get to make the playoffs. What did you make of what happened there in that lap?
Well, that's what NASCAR ended up doing was really the sweet spot of punishment. You know, they are loath to take away a victory earned on the track, however it's earned, but not letting him benefit by making the playoffs should be enough of a detriment at any point in the season to deter someone from trying to do the same thing that he did. And the problem with this is that Dillon had the best car at the end of the race Sunday night. He had passed Denny Hamlin with 28 laps to go. It was a really good on-track battle for about four or five laps. He got around the 11 car, and he would have won fair and square had there not been a caution with a lap and a half to go that sent everybody back into the pits, bunched everybody up. Joey Logano beats him on the restart, and then he did what he did. Dillon tried to justify it six or seven different ways, but we all saw what happened. He ran over one guy, and then the Denny Hamlin thing wasn't as intentional. It was just what happened on the track following the first incident. But he ends up taking out two cars and wins. And if NASCAR doesn't do what they do, then that signals to everybody, hey, go ahead and wreck somebody if you think you could win. We don't care. And they can't have that. They have to maintain some level of, you have to believe that what you're watching is legitimate. And what you're watching is not going to be demolition derby. And you also can't penalize somebody because he happens to be in the lead on the last turn. That shouldn't be a penalty. You know, you shouldn't have to fear for your life because somebody else is going to take, you know, take the rules into their own hands and do what Dillon did.
You get the sense it NASCAR's push and pull here is one is like, that was pretty fun. A lot of people were talking about it, and people seemed to enjoy watching it versus, boy, the drivers hated this a lot.
And the drivers hate it because this is kind of like the salary cap in professional sports. The owners impose the salary cap because they can't police themselves to not spend money on players that they really want. The drivers want NASCAR to come in and establish discipline and rules because they can't police themselves on the track. Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano have both done versions of what Austin Dillon did to win races. Maybe not as egregious, maybe as not as blatant, but they've done it. Dale Earnhardt made a legend in that very car out of doing some of the very same things that Austin Dillon did. And you're right. NASCAR loves this. You and I are talking about a race 4 days later on a Thursday. When have we ever done that? Probably never.
Yep.
NASCAR loves the publicity, but at the same time, they have to make sure that, you know, that the guys aren't going to go out there and just start wrecking people left and right, because then, you know, the fans and people watching at home, you're not going to watch that. It would be the same thing if, you know, look at what the NHL did with fighting. Everybody likes fighting, but if every game turned into a goon fest, you would see the ratings plummet, and that's what NASCAR is trying to avoid against right now.
Legislated the Hanson brothers out of the league. I'll never forgive them for that. Lane Castadante joins us on Thursday, CBS 6 sports director. And all right, Washington Commanders, joint practices down in Miami. I love the joint practices. The coaches love the joint practices. They take a lot of the air out of the preseason games, though. I don't think a lot of people watched last Saturday against the Jets. I don't know that a lot of people will be watching this week, because you're going to have Trace McSorley now, who came off the street this morning, you know, potentially playing a half of football because you don't have your backup, two backups healthy right now. Is it time to rethink the preseason, or should we just continue to ignore it and dial in when it's time after Labor Day?
Are you playing the fourth quarter at QB1 for the Commanders, or am I? I don't remember which of us is.
I'm so sorry, Lane. My shoulder's acting up. I think you're going to have to take this one. Yeah.
Okay, that's no problem. the preseason games. First of all, nice Tom Brady reference, taking the air out of them. but they didn't have a lot of air to begin with. We saw what Jaden Daniels did, and we got excited about that, and then we moved on. You know, the hardcore fans and the families of the players that get in after that are about the only ones that care about the rest of any preseason games. We in the media and some of the more astute fans that watch these games and practices a little more closely, we like the joint practices because that's where the real work gets done, and that's where you really see, who's making progress, who's doing what. I'll never forget, and I'm going to make this story very short, but you and I were, when they were here in Richmond, the Commanders or the Redskins, whatever they were called back then, against the Patriots, and we watched two-minute drills, Robert Griffin III and Tom Brady. Tom Brady always looked for the receiver that was covered by the linebacker, and he got down the field in five plays, and that was the end of the afternoon. You and I watched Robert Griffin III try to jam the same pass three times to the receiver that was being covered by Revis. And it got knocked down three straight times. And that's where you can see what's, you know, really might happen during the rest of the regular season. That ended up being a harbinger for RG3's time in D.C. The preseason games serve a purpose. You have to have them because, the first week of the regular season would just be an absolute mess if you didn't at least try to get these guys out there in a more competitive format against a different uniform and see what they really have. There's always going to be a place for them. I think adding the joint practices in helps the players, helps the coaches. It may not be fantastic for the fans, but in the long run, I think it will give all of us a better product in week one.
You know, my favorite part of those joint practices were the Patriots were so well organized. Everything they did had a purpose. They looked so crisp, and the Commanders looked like they had rolled out of bed that morning and assembled a football team, you know, in the Kroger parking lot on Lombardi there. But after the practice, the Patriots players, the captains, led the team in, like, doing sprints. They, like, did a couple rounds of sprints. And RG3, Robert, sees this and, like, runs over and, like, tries to grab four or five of the Redskins players. Like, let's do that, too. We do that, too. We definitely do that all the time.
Yeah, no, and you also I remember the two-minute drill. The Redskins could make no progress whatsoever. Jay Gruden had to physically come out on the field, move the ball 10 yards forward himself, and yell, first down, let's get on with this, because his team couldn't make first 10 yards. And, again, that kind of told us what we were in for that season.
Yes, we were. That was a circus, though, that day. That, the fan appreciation days. You remember those days. They packed some people into that building.
They did, and the other thing I remember is that Tom Brady, I think, spoke after that practice, or he spoke after one of them, and he couldn't have been any nicer. And it was such a disappointment because you want to hate him so bad, but he was the nicest guy and better looking in person, hate to say it, but he really is. And he was just such a nice guy. He answered every question. You know, did he give the best, most in-depth answers? Absolutely not. None of them ever do. But he was just, he didn't have to do any of that. And he did it and stayed far longer than he probably had a right to do. So I always have to tip my hat to Brady for the way he conducted himself when he really didn't have to.
The begrudging Tom Brady hat tip. I join you in begrudgingly tipping my cap as well to Brady, who I think will be very good on TV this year. Lane Casadane, thank you for taking the time. You got high school football previews. Anything else cooking over there on CBS 6?
We got season 30 of Final Score Friday is 2 weeks from tomorrow night. Sean Robertson and I are getting around to about 45 different programs in Central Region. Go to WTVR.com. Just click on the sports or the Final Score Friday page. We update it every day. We will try to get around to everybody's team before they kick off for real. High school, actually, most of them will start on the 29th, which is 2 weeks from today.
A Herculean effort by Lane and Sean. Go to WTVR.com. Appreciate all their good work. Talk to you next week, Lane.
All right, Mike. Thanks. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Off he goes and off we go. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.